This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
It's time to get intimate with Checkpoint Intimates.
Welcome to another episode of Checkpoint Intimates. We are a weekly gaming podcast where two members of the Checkpoint team go one-on-one and get intimate on a particular gaming topic. My name is Elliot, and this week I am here with Charlie.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Not bad, yeah.
We've been getting into the Halloween spirit recently, and if you haven't heard that broadcast yet, go check it out. We've been talking all about horror games, but on this particular podcast, we're actually going to be talking about video game virality, which is, I guess, a term that we're seeing more of within the year of 2020, and by that we mean video games that kind of take off out of nowhere, and all of a sudden it's all people are playing and talking about, and it's like part of the general gaming zeitgeist, and everybody wants a piece of the action, and I mean, we've been seeing this a lot recently, haven't we?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's definitely, especially in 2020, given with everything going on with the pandemic and everything, you know, a lot of people like sharing their experiences of games they've experienced online, and that in itself has helped, you know, some smaller games that otherwise wouldn't necessarily be as big to kind of blow up in a lot bigger ways.
Yeah, absolutely. And if we want to give a bit of a timeline to this, starting now and working our way back, Charlie, what would you say are the games that you believe fall under the category of video game virality?
I feel like the first one has to be Animal Crossing this year. Definitely because of when it arrived like just as lockdown was starting for a lot of people. So Really, it couldn't have come at a better time. And that's a game that's all about, you know, fostering a community, working towards objectives, giving yourself daily tasks. It was a really nice thing to kind of have at the start of pandemic when things felt all disarrayed and just totally unorganized.
Yeah, and I think it's worth pointing out for that one, before we continue with our timeline, that yes, Animal Crossing was always going to be big. Yes, this first-party Nintendo Switch game was always going to be popular and people were always going to be talking about it. But, I mean, I don't think anybody saw coming how big of a game this was going to be. Like, it was everywhere. People, non-gamers, in my close circles, were talking about Animal Crossing and loving Animal Crossing and sharing the Animal Crossing screenshots and videos online, and everybody was trading and talking about turnip prices, and it went gangbusters. Like, it was crazy how many people flocked to this game seemingly out of nowhere. I don't remember any of the past Animal Crossing games being quite this big.
Neither, no. And I think that is largely due to, you know, it coming out in a period where social media is as big as ever. A lot more newer features like the turnip prices and stuff is definitely a good way to get people talking to each other and stuff. Definitely helped.
Yep. And what was the next game?
I feel like there's a bit of a grey area in between Animal Crossing and what I want to say is probably the next one is probably Fall Guys. Animal Crossing definitely had the staying power for quite a while, but I think in August, August, Fall Guys would probably be the next one, would you say?
Fall Guys was huge. I mean, yeah. I was excited for Fall Guys before release, but I did not expect it to be this. Like, what it ended up being is crazy, and I'm so glad, like, I had an opportunity to chat to the developers and they found some time to kind of impart their wisdom on this one. But even they, like, couldn't have seen this coming. I think in hindsight, it's one of those things of, oh, you know, the game was always fun. Everybody we showed the game really liked it. It's free for PlayStation Plus subscribers. Of course, it's going to be popular. Of course, people are going to get around it. But nobody could foresee exactly what it turned into. Like, it was crazy. It still is. So many people playing it, top of the Steam charts, top of the Twitch charts. It sold in like millions and millions of copies. I know it was Devolver's biggest launch of a game ever by far. It went crazy.
It was the most downloaded PlayStation Plus game as well, like ever. Yeah. Which is crazy to like and, plus, and like exclusives.
And people just wanted to talk about it and chat about it and play it together. And, you know, I think both Animal Crossing and Fall Guys have that same thing of, well, they're quite they're nice games, like, they're easy, nobody gets stressed over them, they're the kind of games that can help you possibly relax and unwind, and it is quite a stressful year of, just in the world, just in general, and, and having games like that can be quite comforting, and also, you know, it's all about those interactions with your friends, and if you've got PlayStation Plus and your friends have, then it's so easy to jump into a game and everybody get involved and having fun, and it's that kind of connectivity that we really needed in this world when so many of us were non-connected and, you know, distanced from each other socially because of the pandemic and lockdowns and stuff like that, and very valid reasons not to be seeing people face to face, but instead playing video games with each other. So
it also was a game that was like introduced to an already well-known and established genre at that point in battle royales. Definitely it still is competitive, but it's a definitely a more approachable one than, say, Fortnite or Apex Legends or whatever, because, you know, it's
absolutely
fun, and just jumping in and out of games is so easy that it definitely helps some of that popularity that surged. And the social media, like, team behind Fall Guys alone was enough to bolster it in, like, crazy ways as well.
Yep, 100%. Okay, and the next game on your little timeline, Charlie, what comes next?
This one's complicated because it's Among Us. But the thing is, this game came out in 2018, but it only really blew up, not long after Fall Guys, probably like late August, early September. And it's a game all about betrayal and like not knowing who to trust. It's a multiplayer game, very simple, free to play on mobile. You play as these little like spacemen on like a spaceship, and you all have to do your little tasks. And one or two or more of you is an imposter, where you got to pretend to do your task, but also kill off everyone there without, like, with avoiding suspicion and stuff. And it's a game mode type that we've seen before in stuff like, you know, TTT and Gmod and stuff like that. But it was so simple and so colorful and fun that it's definitely an easy game to pick up for anyone, really. This is a game that I know you've played a lot of.
I've played a lot of Among Us. I'm obsessed. I can't help myself. For me, it's one of those games that... I mean, this came... Out of all of these, this came out of nowhere the most, I think. Partly because it is a 2018 release that kind of finally built up, friction and people started noticing it in 2020, kind of out of nowhere. But it also showed just the strength of a really good concept, like potentially a basic concept, but a really strong concept for a video game, because this is a small developer. I think there's three of them working on this game. They're not able to pump out massive updates and content and stuff like that, but what they were able to do was put together this really clever social deception game, and all it needed was timing, right? And the right people to take notice of it. And then that happened. And, you know, some people started streaming it on Twitch, and other people became aware of it because of that. And then they joined in. And all of a sudden, it was, like, the biggest game. And we had no idea this was going to happen, because everybody was still talking about Fall Guys. But all of a sudden, Among Us started sliding into all these conversations. Like, what? Sorry, what is this game? I keep hearing about this. Yeah. Oh, this is the game. And once again, so accessible. You know, you said it was free on your mobile phone. It's another game that relies heavily on multiplayer and cooperation and getting people and your friends together for a fun game. The fact that it allows for 10 players is fantastic. It means that you can get larger social groups together. And even people who are less familiar with gaming can very easily jump on their phone. It's completely free.
It's almost like a very like flash game. Just it's very simple, exactly, and basic, that anyone can learn it quite easily. I think it definitely helps.
Because the interactions are minimal. You know, you're walking around, you're joining wires. You know, some of those mini games aren't the most self-explanatory, but you see it once or twice and you'll figure it out. Most of the game is just talking, and people can do that already. Like, they talk to their friends, so they're going to jump on to a Discord or a whatever messenger chat and just start hashing it out and discussing and figuring out what happened. And
which I must I guess say you're amazing at doing yourself. Like, I played a game with you, and you were so good at sussing out people. Like, you keep people on their toes and stuff, and it's so much fun playing with you.
Oh, thanks, Charlie. I'm definitely one of those people I take it seriously. Not because I think it needs to be taken seriously, but because I think that's the most fun way to play it.
Yeah.
Is that, like, yeah, you could be aloof about it and silly and whatever, and that would be fun in its own right, but being the detective and being like, no, this is life and death, that to me is the most fun. I was told by my partner Nick that he hates playing with me because I figure it out too quickly and he doesn't get to have the fun of being the imposter. Oh, I'm like, you just gotta play better.
So that was a game. Yeah.
So yeah, and we've played that together, actually, which is awesome. And I really want to play the next game on our list with you too, Charlie, which is
Phasmophobia. So yeah. I talked about this on the Halloween episode that we did, but this is a four-player co-op game where you're working together to basically hunt and investigate ghosts. Like I said on the show, not a Ghostbuster type game, but like a very amateur version of that, where you've got like small kind of recording devices and stuff to try and get proof of this ghost. And at the same time, you've got to avoid not being hunted by and killed by the ghost. So it's a lot of fun. It's in early access, made by one person, so a lot of the fun as well is how buggy and broken it can be at times, and just the amount of fun you can have with friends. A lot of, like, communicating with the ghost via walkie-talkie, trying to get it to react to something you say, is just so fun in itself, and it's where you'll see so many clips online of just, like, hilarious interactions, and I think that in itself has helped it, like, go huge.
Yeah, I once again, out of nowhere, I know that for me, I'm often looking at kind of the next indie releases or just releases in general. I'm constantly drafting up release lists and talking about, well, what games are worth us covering? What should I reach out and get review codes for? And mostly I avoid early access titles because, you know, we may as well cover them on full release rather than early access. But, you know, that's not a hard and fast rule. But Phasmophobia never really came across my radar. I didn't pay too much attention to it. I didn't notice it. Maybe that's because it got swept under the early access rug in my mind, and so I just didn't bother. But I was so wrong. Like, this game was massive. I wish we had have jumped on that bandwagon sooner and joined the conversation that everybody's been talking about, because it looks really cool. There's clearly a really cool concept in there that people are ready to enjoy and play. And once again, it proves that it's not, you know, some companies spend millions of dollars on marketing and getting people excited and pre-ordering their game, right? But the cool thing about these viral video games is it's not about that. It's almost the opposite. You know, this is one developer who I'm sure spent next to $0 on marketing and probably had very little coverage from mainstream outlets and probably struggled to get people to pay attention to them. But, you know, as soon as it gets into somebody's hands and they like it and they share that experience and other people watch it and they like it and they do the same, then it's this branching kind of virality that we see that sweeps across all gamers. And now it would be hard to find a gamer who doesn't know about Phasmophobia.
For sure. I have a question for you. Do you think this, like, viral trend is going to transcend into next year and, like, outside of the pandemic and stuff? Or do you think it's going to go back to, like, people talking about the big game of the month or stuff that comes out?
Yeah, I see it as a twofold thing. I think we're seeing, like, this isn't the first time we've seen viral video games in the year of 2020. It's happened before. It'll keep happening into the future. I think we're seeing it more noticeably or more frequently because of two reasons. I think, number one, social media is just in general becoming more and more influential. It just will. And gaming is just becoming a bigger part of the world. So we're seeing people discuss and share and create communities around video games. And, you know, just like you and I, Charlie, love to talk about the latest and greatest in video games, all of a sudden everybody wants to do that. And all your friends are doing that. And it's no longer as fun to just be playing, you know, this single player video game by yourself and leaving it at that. Now it's much more fun to be playing a game and then talking to other people about the experience with that game. And then every new friend you talk to has also been playing that game. And it becomes a much bigger discussion and a communal thing. The second reason, obviously, is exacerbated by COVID, which is the whole community side of wanting to share and being put into a situation where you're more likely to be playing video games and talking to people via online methods. So, you know, I'm sure this year we've seen a decrease in the purchases of board games, for instance. And I think just the natural flip side to that is that there is going to be an increase in social games where people are playing alongside each other. And I can only speak personally, but when I catch up with my friends, which, you know, we're now allowed to actually do in Melbourne kind of for the first time in quite a while, but when I catch up with friends, and I'm talking here like a lockdown catch-up, I prefer to be playing a game and talking to them about that rather than just sitting in a Zoom call or something, sure, which has a tendency to be a little bit more awkward. I don't think you can fully replace face-to-face interactions with a Skype or a Zoom call, whereas, you know, a social situation of a Discord or a video game chat actually works perfectly well and creates and facilitates the ability to socialize with each other. And that's probably another massive reason is why these games are becoming so viral right now. So in the most roundabout way to answer your question ever, I think it'll keep happening, but I will admit that in a non-pandemic world, it probably will slow down.
Yeah. It's interesting, you know, because like there's so many games coming out, so much grabbing your attention at once. It's hard. It's daunting to know where to even start. And there's just so much going on with like indie releases and big releases that I'm almost like looking forward to seeing what the next kind of big hit is. It's exciting, really.
Yeah, and there's also that part of it where it's like, well, the community is deciding what's popular now. Don't get me wrong, it's not like we're not completely removing marketing from the equation. Obviously, a massive company can get people excited about their video game and purchasing it, you know, within the millions without anybody ever playing it themselves. But there's definitely this whole aspect of, well, as long as your game is good and as long as some people take notice, it has the potential to take off. And I think that's a really exciting prospect as well for, you know, indie developers, because three of the four games you mentioned in your timeline are indie games. It's a really exciting prospect that these indie devs can be amongst some of the most successful of the year simply because they had a good idea that was implemented well and people took notice of it. That's really cool.
Even just showing up in like Game of the Year lists and stuff, like I won't be surprised if, you know, like there's like really weird debates where people like trying to like fight for Among Us, even though it didn't come out this year and everything, is
looking
at it as like a favorite indie of the year or something. It's
I can see
super
that.
Interesting. Yeah.
I can see people trying to weasel that in and using the excuse, well, nobody knew about it in 2018. Now we know about it. Let's talk about it. Let's award it. Let's give it its just dues. And yeah, I don't know what side of the argument I would fall on. That seems a bit weird to me, but I don't know. It's a really cool thing. Will we keep expecting it this year, Charlie? I mean, we're not done yet. This pandemic certainly isn't over. Are we going to keep seeing it at this level? Like, is there going to be something new every month to take our attention?
I think so. Or at least I almost kind of hope so, which I know is probably bad to say because, you know, it sucks for, like, the other developers who make a really good big game, but it only kind of does well like 1 month. Like, sure, that 1 month is amazing, but really they're trying for longevity. But at the same time, I think, like you, you're a bit of the same. Gamers are kind of always looking for like the next big thing, the next important fun adventure and everything, and I really think a lot of developers are going to cash in on that and hopefully come up with new and innovative ways to do so.
It also, I think it moves in peaks and troughs of influences too, and I think that's going to be a big part of this conversation and moving forward in the future too, that, you know, it's no surprise that really Fall Guys was massive for about a month, and then Among Us was massive, and then Phasmophobia was massive, and there's all these, like, these games, like, peaking and troughing and peaking and troughing, and that's kind of how influencers, YouTubers, Twitchers, that's kind of how they operate. They will spam the hell out of a game for a while, and then they'll move on to something else because they're human beings and they get bored of certain concepts. And it does really feel like we're you know, gamers as a whole are kind of moving in those peaks and troughs alongside the influences. And, you know, is it one influencing the other? Is it, does it work both ways? But yeah, I don't really know. But clearly, these people are having a much bigger say in how successful a video game is than ever before. And it would be so interesting to see in the future how much they are targeted as, you know, we need to make sure the Twitch users are playing our game. That's like the number one priority.
I can definitely see that as coming into consideration for like some people's marketing and stuff for games. Absolutely.
Yeah. But it also has this adverse effect where, well, maybe not adverse, but this additional effect where, you know, sometimes the biggest streamers in the world are created overnight because they happen to be playing the right game at the right time. And like just Among Us, for instance, I know of a bunch of people I'd never heard of before and now some of the top Twitch streamers ever, because that was the game. They jumped on it at the right time. Everybody wanted to watch Among Us, and suddenly these were the big players in this area. And it's I don't know, it's tumultuous a little bit, but it's cool. I have to see what happens. It's very much a right now, right, like a right time thing. So, interesting.
Absolutely.
Yes. Anything you want to add to this discussion, Charlie, before we wrap it up?
Do you see any specific genres taking off in the viral way? Like,
oh, that's a good question. I think the core, for me, the core element to it is communal, allowing people to create some kind of community around it and talk about it with each other. And I think as long as that element is there, the genre doesn't really matter. What do you think?
I think absolutely community is what helps. You know, so many of these games are like, oh, look at this weird thing that happened to me kind of thing. And you can't really get that in a single-player game. Like, sure, when a new big release comes out, people will be talking about, say, like, the big things that happen in Cyberpunk or Last of Us or whatever. But when you play, like, say, a co-op game and those things are less scripted, that's definitely the stuff that lends itself to getting the most clicks, getting the most viral, and then growing a fan base and from there, basically.
You can kind of create your own narrative with a lot of these games rather than having the game tell you what the narrative is, you know?
Yeah.
And we saw that with PUBG as well, and Fortnite, and all those games too that could easily fit into this category. If they, you know, had released this year, I'm sure we would have been talking about it in the exact same way we've been talking about Among Us and Fall Guys and Phasmophobia. So, yeah, I don't know, there's so many opportunities, and now more than ever it feels like you have no idea what the next big thing is going to be, but I'm ready for this wild ride. I like everybody playing and talking about the same thing at the same time. It makes it more exciting in a way.
For sure, yeah.
Absolutely. Cool. Well, that wraps up our chat about video game virality. My name has been Elliot. Charlie, thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
And we'll catch you guys next week for another awesome episode of Checkpoint Intimates. We'll see you then.
You've been listening to Checkpoint Intimates. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate and subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.